Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we bring you stories on the battle over immigration in the United States. Christopher Cruz has our first story.
Mr. Obama spoke to the American people Thursday night. He said the U.S. immigration system is not working.
It's been this way for decades. And for decades, we haven't done much about it.
The president said his order will help immigrants to, in his words, come out of the shadows. It temporarily protects some illegal immigrants from being expelled from the country, a process called deportation. It also gives them permission to work. But they must have been in the United States at least 5 years and have no criminal record. And they must have at least one U.S.-born child.
It does not apply to anyone who might come to America illegally in the future. It does not grant citizenship or the right to stay here permanently or offer the same benefits that citizens receive.
U.S. immigration officials will spend less time removing people and their families who entered the country without permission. They will, instead, increase efforts against terrorists, criminals, and people who only recently entered the United States illegally. The Obama administration says the executive order increases the chances that anyone attempting to cross the border illegally will be caught and sent back. The order expands a program for young people who had come to the United States as children and had spent at least 5 years in the U.S. It protects foreign citizens from being returned home for 3 years if they entered the U.S. before 2010 and are attending school.
Are we a nation that educates the world's best and brightest in our universities only to send them home to create businesses in countries that compete against us? Or are we a nation that encourages them to stay and create jobs here?
U.S. officials estimate there are more than 11 million illegal immigrants in the country. The president's plan will affect about 5 million of them. The changes announced Thursday night will not take effect until early next year. An administration official said it is not possible to make an announcement and put the policy into effect the next day. Political observers expect opposition to the changes. Some critics say the president does not have the power under the Constitution to make major immigration policy changes using an executive order. The president said he does.
The actions I'm taking are not only lawful, they're the kinds of actions taken by every single Republican president and every single Democratic president for the past half century. And to those members of Congress who question my authority to make our immigration system work better, or question the wisdom of me acting where Congress has failed, I have one answer. Pass a bill.
I'm Christopher Cruz.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. Republican Party lawmakers are promising to fight President Barack Obama's executive order on immigration. The order protects millions of people who have been living in the United States illegally. The president's announcement immediately angered Republicans in the U.S. Congress. The order temporarily blocks expulsion of some undocumented immigrants from the United States and gives them work permits. But the immigrants must have been living in the country longer than 5 years. They also must pass a criminal investigation and have U.S.-born children. Republicans were angry about the move even before President Obama made the official announcement. They say the president should not have acted alone. They say the Constitution requires Congress to pass laws, not the president. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican, will become the powerful Senate Majority Leader in January. That is because Republicans won control of the Senate in recent elections. Senator McConnell accused the president of ignoring those election results.
If President Obama acts in defiance of the people and imposes his will on the country, Congress will act. We're considering a variety of options. But make no mistake, when the newly elected representatives of the people take their seats, they will act.
A number of Republicans accused Mr. Obama of preparing an illegal amnesty and abusing his presidential powers. Among them is John Cornyn, a U.S. senator from the state of Texas, which borders on Mexico.
Now, I understand he can prioritize prosecution and deportation, and he has. But where does the president get the authority to issue work permits for millions of people?
But a number of Democratic Party lawmakers praised the president for what they termed his courage. They said he is supporting family values by stopping families from being torn apart. Senator Dick Durbin is a Democrat from Illinois. He rejected charges that the executive order is amnesty.
Doing nothing, leaving the current system in place, is amnesty. What the president is calling for is accountability.
In his speech to the nation, the president said what he is describing in the executive order is a common sense approach. Congressional expert Thomas Mann does not think there is much Republicans can do to fight the order. He said, the only way they can undo these orders in a practical way is to win the next presidential election. If they win it, their president can withdraw those executive orders, and if the party wants to go with that position, they can. James Thurber teaches at the American University in Washington, D.C. He has written about Congress and the presidency.
He obviously is thinking, well, they haven't done anything, the Republicans. They probably won't do anything. I'm going to get criticized for this anyway, but I want to do the right thing. It'll be part of my legacy.
Recently, we received our supply of VOA wall calendars for 2015. This year, the calendars have beautiful color pictures of the southwestern United States. To get your calendar, simply send an email to us at learningenglish@voanews.com or write to VOA Learning English, Voice of America, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Be sure to include your mailing address when you write. We have several hundred 2015 wall calendars, but when they are gone, they are gone. So write to us today. I'm Jonathan Evans.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. The political and security crisis in Libya is growing worse. Competing governments seek to control the east and west of the country. In a new report, Amnesty International says human rights violations in Libya are widespread, and it says rights are violated without fear of punishment. Libyans have been facing almost constant conflict since the fall of Muammar Gaddafi 3 years ago. The fighting is continuing. The country may have competing governments, but militias hold much of the real power. They represent supporters of the former Libyan leader, Islamists, and other groups. Recently, Amnesty International examined the situation in Libya. The new report condemns all sides for human rights abuses and violations of international law. Magdalena Mugrabi works for Amnesty.
We've seen, 3 years where instead of investigating crimes, instead of investigating human rights violations, having a sort of transitional justice process, the authorities, successive governments, were actually unable to deal with that situation.
Magdalena Mugrabi says conditions worsened through 3 years of different governments. She says these governments gave power to militias in an effort to help them become part of Libyan society. But she says Libyan officials were unable to control the militias or to hold them responsible for their actions. The political situation in Libya has also broken down. The Libyan Supreme Court canceled the election of the latest parliament. This parliament still claims power from a town in the country's east. But a militant commander, Khalifa Haftar, has set up another government in Tripoli. He formerly served as a general in the Libyan armed forces. That means more fighting and suffering for the Libyan people, says Chris Doyle. He is the director of the Council for Arab-British Understanding.
It means that there is still a struggle for power within the country. There is no legitimate authority. It means there's going to be a further conflict now to assert who actually has the legitimacy to run the country.
Mr. Doyle says some Libyans want another strongman as their leader. He notes that a small minority consider the Islamic State militant group as a model. Yet many Libyans continue to flee toward Europe, creating another humanitarian crisis.
If we do not address the situation in Libya, we are going to see more of that, and we are going to see increased radicalization and extremism on the southern borders of Europe.
The 2011 revolution created great hope for oil-rich and well-educated Libya. Now, Chris Doyle says, the competing groups need foreign help with negotiating an end to the crisis, and there is none they would all trust. So Amnesty International is calling on militia commanders to end the human rights abuses. But that call is unlikely to have much of an effect on Libyan commanders who have never been punished. Many believe they are fighting an all-or-nothing battle for the future of their country. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Now the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. Today's story is called The Turtle. It was written by George Vukelic. Here is Shep O'Neill with the story.
Old Joe and his son Tony were on their way to White River to catch some fish. They started on the trip long before the sun came up. Old Joe drove the car. Tony slept in the back seat. Joe enjoyed looking at the empty city streets in the early morning. The cool wind blew pieces of paper across the dark road. These days, he often felt as empty as the streets. As he grew older, loneliness became a close friend who was always with him. Outside the city, Joe drove slowly down the river road. The dark sky began to grow lighter. He looked down at his hands and took a deep breath. Not long ago, he had worked hard with those hands, but now they did not do much. Just drive the car and hold a fishing stick. Farther on, he saw something in the middle of the road. He stopped the car. Tony sat up in the back seat.
"What's wrong?" he asked in a sleepy voice. "What are we stopping for?"
Old Joe pushed his head forward to see what blocked the road. He turned on the brightest car lights. "It's one of those fish-killing turtles," he said. "It's a big one, too." Tony opened his eyes wide and looked at the strange thing. It was the biggest turtle he had ever seen. "Is it dead?" he asked. The two men got out of the car and stood looking down at the turtle. It looked like a large green rock. Suddenly it moved a little and left sharp marks in the dirt. Then it stopped.
"Probably going to the river," Tony said. "These turtles kill fish, especially trout."
They watched it. "I could crush him under the wheels of the car," Tony said, "but he's too big." He looked around and walked to the side of the road. He came back with a long stick. He pushed it in the turtle's face. With one quick movement, the turtle bit the stick and broke it into little pieces.
"Look at that," Tony said softly. "As strong as a machine."
"He sure is," Old Joe said, and moved back. "He must weigh 100 pounds, maybe more." The turtle pushed his ugly head toward the men. "He thinks there is going to be a fight," Tony said. "I wish I had brought my gun."
"You're not going to kill him, are you?" Old Joe asked.
"Why not?" Tony said. "Turtles kill our fish, don't they? The more trout they eat, the less we can catch." They both lit cigarettes and stood there smoking and looking at the turtle. It had pulled its head inside under the hard cover on his back. "There's a heavy tool in the car. I can hit him with it," Tony said. "But it is too short. I do not want to put my hand near him. He might try to bite it off." Old Joe said nothing. "You watch him," Tony said, "and I'll go find something heavy and strong in the back of the car." Slowly, Joe got closer to the turtle. He smoked and looked at it. "Poor old thing," he said. "It is sad to be caught. Now you will be killed." The turtle pushed a foot out of its hard cover. Old Joe looked at its foot
with its sharp, cutting claws. "It would be different in the water, wouldn't it, Turtle?" he said. "In the water, you could cut down your enemies with those sharp claws." He thought about the turtle in the water. It would probably move as fast as a bullet from a gun. Nothing would try to fight it in the water. Yet here it was, in the middle of a dirt road, as helpless as a baby. Old Joe dropped his cigarette. Now why was he getting so excited about a turtle? He was an old man, and he was acting like a child. They were going to White River to catch fish, and he was worrying about a turtle. His son Tony came back from the car holding a heavy tool. "I think this is long enough," he said. "What do you think?" "Do you care what I think?" old Joe said. Tony answered, "You are worrying about something. What's wrong, Dad?" "This is not right," old Joe said slowly and carefully. The young man was surprised. "Well, what do you mean?" "The turtle does not have a chance," old Joe said. "I do not feel good about killing it." "You talk like an old woman," Tony said. "A tired old woman." Old Joe did not look at his son, but said, "I can understand how the turtle feels. It must be terrible to have no hope." "You think he does not have a chance?" Tony asked. "How could he?" answered the old man quietly. "Where you have such a heavy weapon." Tony shook his father's arm. "And that worries you?" he asked. Old Joe looked deep into Tony's eyes. "That is right," he said. "It worries me." "Well, of all the foolish things," Tony answered, "what do you want me to do? Get down on my hands and knees and fight him?" "No," said his father, "not on your hands and knees. In the water. Fight this turtle in the water, where he is at home. That would be a brave thing, my son." Tony put the weapon down. He looked at the turtle for a long time. At last, he said, "I think you're sick, Dad." Old Joe smiled. "It is a thought, my son, just a thought. This old one is weak here on the dirt road, but in the water, he could cut down anyone, anything, even a man. Fight him in the water, Tony. Use your weapon in the water." "The years have changed you," Tony said. Old Joe shook his head. "This does not seem fair to you, eh? To be in the water with this one?" He pointed to the turtle. "This seems foolish to you because in the water he could hurt you, perhaps even kill you, because in the water you are not as strong as he is." Tony looked at his father. "What are you trying to prove, Dad?" "Tony," his father said, "you could kill the turtle here, and you will lose nothing. Not a finger or a hand or your life. Nothing. You can crush him with that weapon, and he cannot hit you." "So?" asked Tony. Old Joe put an arm around his son's broad shoulders. "So," he answered, I want you to fight honestly. You should have something to lose, too. Tony looked at his father, and then back at the turtle. Any fool can kill a turtle here, old Joe said. It is easy. Dad, Tony said, it's only a turtle. You're making it a big thing. Joe dropped his hands to his sides. All right, he said. Do what you like. I will say nothing more. Tony threw the tool into the car. It made a loud, crashing sound. All right, he shouted angrily. All right, you win. No, his father said. I do not win. You. You win. But, Dad, Tony argued, they do kill fish. Yes, agreed old Joe, they kill fish. Nature lets them do it. The turtle kills fish to eat and live. We kill fish too, we men. Do we kill them so we can live? No. We do it for fun. This old turtle takes what he needs. I do not kill him. I do not act like God. Tony got into the driver's seat and laughed. Dad, you have strange ideas. Old Joe walked around behind the turtle and gently pushed it with his shoe. The turtle went forward across the road and into the tall grass. He was going toward the river. Joe watched until he could not see that turtle any longer. Then he got into the car beside his son. The two men sat and looked at each other. The sun was coming up strong now, and the sky was bright. Tony started the engine. Old Joe brought out his cigarettes. They sat and smoked and looked at each other. Then they started to smile. The car moved slowly along the dirt road toward the morning sun. They did not stop until they reached the quiet waters of White River.
You have just heard the story, The Turtle, written by George Vukelich. It was published in the University of Kansas City Review in October 1959. Your storyteller was Shep O'Neill. This story is copyrighted, all rights reserved. This is Shirley Griffith. Listen again next week at this time for another American story in special English on the Voice of America.